It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
This is...
Well, here we are.
Felger.
What?
And Nass.
The whole team suck.
Felger and Nass.
Maybe your part in the back is a little bit loose.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
All right, hi everybody, welcome to the program, Felger Maserati on a Monday. Hi Anthony.
Good, you?
I'm just fine, thank you so much. Big Jim Murray in our update studio.
Hi.
Enough of the pleasantries. We'll get right to it. Why don't we start with the Hanley Ramirez thing? What'd you make of that whole story? What a mess, huh? So both Maz and I were off on Friday, so we've missed the entire arc of it being, you know, leaked out by Michelle McPhee, the fallout over the weekend, the Globe report. Yes, like the whole thing. We were off for the whole thing, which is great, Maz, because you and I have had zero chance to really get in any trouble for it.
Exactly.
We've just been sitting here watching it go by, like just watch the parade go by, and it's zero involved. Like Hanley in that FaceTime call, man, I don't know what you're talking about. My hands are clean on this one. Done nothing to screw anything up yet. But now that we're here, what do you make of the whole story?
So I think the Red Sox are being very, very careful with what they say. That's what I think. And that has gone to Hanley from the beginning because they are terrified of a potential grievance from the Major League Baseball Players Association. So do I believe that the Red Sox knew about this in April when the initial sort of incident happened involving the, you know, the guy driving the stuff back and being pulled over? Yep, I do. I believe the Red Sox knew at that time. Why didn't they release him or something? Because he hadn't done anything wrong legally to that point. I mean, what are they going to do? Suspend a guy for being on someone's phone? For his name, for being in the contacts? They can't. I don't think. I mean, I think it's just asking for trouble from the players' union. And so they waited. Again, I still think the biggest reason the Red Sox released Hanley was the contract. I still think that's number one on the list. But were these other elements flying around? Yep. Did the Red Sox know about him? My belief, yes. And when they saw the first opportunity to cut bait with him, they did so. And they made clear that it was for baseball reasons so as to remove any possible issues with the MLBPA or anyone else down the road. That's what I think.
What do you think, Big Jim?
Well, I'm with Maz. I mean, I think that the Red Sox knew. And the bottom line is this. If a schlub like me knew about it within 2 days of Hanley being DFA'd, because, I mean, my initial reaction once I saw the tweet from Michelle McPhee was, finally we get to talk about this. Because, let's be honest, we've known about it for weeks. At least that story, or whatever his involvement was, the pullover, and fentanyl, and Hanley being somehow involved. But in terms of the Red Sox, please, I don't believe them for a second. Because if a bum like me knows this, or at least knew there was some sort of involvement with his name in this story, you're going to sit there and tell me the Red Sox had no knowledge of it? Please, I don't buy that for a second.
Well, and you know, I don't want to blow up your spot, Murray, but you heard it first here on the show, internally, and it wasn't media gossip, right? I mean, you got it from someone outside of the media world, right? Because...
Yep.
The media, when we've been gossiping about this thing now for weeks, where the media people you don't have enough to report, but, you know, did you hear? So, like, that's been going around for a while. That's not how you heard it.
No.
You heard it from someone essentially off the grid, off the media grid.
Yeah.
So, if you heard it from, I don't want to say law enforcement.
But essentially was.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, there we go. So, fine. So, you heard the chatter among law enforcement people. How do the Red Sox
know? They knew.
Who employ former, you know, people in law enforcement. This is what teams do. They employ former
security
troopers
people.
And cops. And that's because then you still have your ear to the you know, you still hear what's on the street because they have all their contacts within the force. And so if, again, a schlub like Murray, and I say with all love and respect to my heart.
That's how I was referring to myself. That's true.
A schlub like Murray gets it. How do the Red Sox not pick up that, hey, did you hear about Hanley and that stop in Lawrence the other night? Like, no, how do they not hear that?
Listen, like I understand from their perspective why they wouldn't say it. I think I understand. I mean, again, I don't understand all the legalities of it. But I think that if they release Hanley for something unrelated to baseball, I think it opens them up for problems with the players' union. I think. I don't know. But the union in baseball has a tremendous amount of power. And if I'm the Red Sox, honestly, I think they played it the right way. Keep your mouth shut. Like, as long as you know it, you know that there's something going on there and there's nothing you can do to the guy, wait for the opportunity to let him go, and they did. I don't have any issue with the way the Red Sox really handled this thing. I don't. I mean, you know, so, because I don't think they could, so let's say they wanted to suspend him. For what? For what? For being on someone's phone?
Well, conduct detrimental?
I've got more thoughts on that in a second. I mean, I don't know what the harm would have been for them to say, and not that they have to do it, but there would have been no fallout if they said, there's some things with Hanley Ramirez that we don't like where it's trending. Some things we'll talk about, some things we don't have to, and we don't have to tell you everything behind. I mean, Dave Dombrowski's done this a million times, where he says, when he fired John Farrell, he said, I have reasons, I'm not going to tell them to you. So why couldn't you do the same thing with Hanley, where you're not, you know, it feels like a blatant.
You're talking about when they released him.
When they released John Farrell, didn't Dave Dombrowski say, I have my reasons, but I'm not telling you what they are?
Yeah, but my point is,
So all I'm saying is, he didn't lie about Farrell, he just didn't. What the Sox are doing now with Hanley feels like a lie. No, we never heard anything. We never heard anything until the reporters started calling us in the last couple of days. I mean, that's impossible that's impossible to believe, right?
I think they knew. But again, I think they. I also think if they come out and say or suggest that there was some element involved in his release, that it leaves them open to grievance from the players' union. They end up paying money that they don't want to pay.
I understand.
That's my guess. Again, I honestly, I haven't talked to anybody with the Red Sox. They hate me like poison. But I have a hard time.
No, why would they?
I have a hard time believing they really did. You know, unless they knew. Like, you know, that he was, like, doing something really bad and they kept him around anyway.
Well, then they're an accomplice. So, like, you can't, like, they can't totally deny it. And they're not going to do that. They're not going to harbor someone who they know is involved in criminal activity. Like, they're not going to do that either. I just don't know why there couldn't be. There doesn't have to be complete transparency, but there's, you know, simply. Yeah, there was a lot of things about him. That, you know, there were some things happening with Hanley that we don't have to get into, that we just didn't like the direction it was going, and so we moved in a different direction. Like, there's not even that. There's like, nope, we heard nothing till the other day. We heard nothing. We heard nothing. We heard nothing. Which is just, again, impossible to believe, but it's a small thing. Like, what does it really matter in the grand scheme? They were right in what they did with Hanley.
Well, see, so that's ultimately where I end up. Like, I look at it and say, if they're looking to get out from under the money, this guy was doing shady stuff, and if he was doing shady stuff, but even so, if he's hanging out with the wrong people, whatever, and they got their chance to cut bait, bye-bye. See you later. You're out. Like, I don't have a huge problem with it.
Oh, even without this, I was applauding the move.
So I wasn't, because if it was really for a baseball reason, as they're saying, then I have a problem.
Okay, so then that is just sort of like, so then that just becomes a flat-out lie, and I don't know why we have to do that. And so you're saying it's to protect themselves in the grievance. I mean, I get it. I get it. I think there might be a middle ground there. But I don't know how anyone could buy this for pure baseball reasons. And I can't, you know, I still think it's a red flag that Hanley's not getting picked up or that he's out of the country. Like, I thought the whole reason. So now we get to, let me just back up. How shady was it? How much do you ascribe to Hanley, and how bad do you think it was? And I've gone back and forth. You know, when we first heard of this stuff weeks ago, it's like, ooh, that doesn't sound good. And then Michelle McPhee has a thing on Friday. I'm like, oh, he's going down. Like, all right, this stuff's actually true. He's going down. And then the Globe Report comes out, and I sort of flip. I say, oh, he wasn't really involved. He, you know, it's not his fault that his friend called him. Like, how's he supposed to? He can't control what his stupid friends do. So his hands are clean. No big deal. And then the more I think of it, I'm like, no, well, actually, wait a minute. Wait a minute. These are known associates. I mean, this to say that you're not responsible for what your friends do, that's true. If Jim Murray goes to a concert and drops his pants and starts waving his wiener all over the place, like, that's not, like, my hands are clean on that. I mean,
you're on his phone.
I'm not responsible for that.
I know I am.
If, however...
You guys want to see a helicopter?
If, however, I get pulled over with a trunk full of heroin, essentially, drugs, and my first call is a FaceTime to Murray, and he picks up, that's a little different, don't you think?
I mean, I'm probably projecting, but as I was just saying to Beetle before he got off, I mean, I really only pick up for, like, you know, my closest friends or my dad. So for him to pick up in the first place, I think is a massive red flag.
I mean, FaceTiming in general,
there's a closeness with it.
Exactly. It connotes a level of intimacy that you're FaceTiming with someone that you're either making it or picking up. Good Lord. I mean, I FaceTime. You wouldn't believe it, but I do it. But it's my daughter and my wife. And that's it, right? Like, so there, that does sort of represent a level of intimacy and association that goes beyond...
I agree completely.
I mean, you know what I mean, Murray?
Yeah. I wouldn't pick up a random associate or just a close... Like, the way that this is written and how this was is just, oh, it's just a friend of Hanley's. He knew him. Then Hanley wouldn't have picked up, dude, and he certainly wouldn't have picked up a FaceTime call from a random associate.
With a trooper standing there on the side of the road with the trunk full of drugs. I mean, come on, that's beyond, I'm not responsible for my stupid friends.
I mean, again, like, I don't even need the FaceTime part of it. Just the fact that he picked up. He knows the guy.
Convicted drug dealer. The guy's a convicted drug dealer, convicted in 09.
I mean, so that would make me, if I'm the Red Sox, that would make me very nervous. And again, they know who he's hanging out with and who he's not. They know that about all these guys. They know what they're doing, generally speaking. I mean, maybe not to the nth degree where they know exactly what everybody's doing when they shut the door at night. Because who knows that about anybody? But in the case, my guess is the Red Sox had a good idea. And as the whole thing started to transpire, they said, we're getting rid of this guy. We're cutting bait. We're just going to tell everybody it's for baseball reasons. And that's it. And only baseball.
Get out. Get out. And who the heck knows? Like, I mean, so think of the association there. I mean, if those are the kind of friends you're keeping, convicted drug dealer who's still running drugs back and forth and would, you know, call you during a traffic stop when they're about to bust open the case of drugs, they call you. It's like, that is, if those are the kind of folks you're associating with, then that should scare the crap out of you as an employer.
No question. Yeah, no question. Now, so again, I sort of come back to, what can they do to him? And I'm just not sure they could do anything without proof.
So, you know, it probably doesn't rise to the level of criminality. I mean, that's the way it looks. He needed nothing criminal. But bad news. The guy's bad news. Bad news. And you can see that from Hanley Ramirez from 10,000 feet. Just watch him walk to the dugout from left field and say, bad news, that fellow right there.
I mean, I told you, my only issue with the Red Sox in this whole story, given what we know now, is if they actually released him for baseball reasons. Like, that part irritates me. Because I look at it and say, well, now I'm hearing stories that you're looking for a right-handed bat who can hit lefties. Hanley did that. What'd you cut him for?
Yeah, so if he's done absolutely nothing wrong, according to the Globe, owned by the Red Sox, says he's completely clear on all this, and you need a right-handed bat, exactly like you just said. You're sniffing around this outfielder in San Francisco. You got to give something up. Why not just bring Hanley back for free?
I mean, like, I look at that and say, you know, the baseball part of it never made sense to me. It never, ever made sense to me. This makes a little more sense to me. And do I believe the Red Sox knew that there was something going on or that he was hanging out with the wrong people or whatever? Yes, I do. I believe that. Yes.
I mean,
yep.
Beyond the wrong people. Scary. Scary. So I think the Red Sox were justified in doing this before this came out. Now it's out. And you just sort of, I mean, I don't know what the questions are there. Do you hold the blame? Do you hold the team responsible in any way, shape, or form? Does it bother you the way they've handled it in any way, shape, or form? You know, your thoughts on the story. We'll start off with Red Sox, so we'll get into their action from the weekend, the Yankees action from the weekend, with your calls. You want to join us at 617-779-0985. We'll get to you right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Nas on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
That's the sound of the police.
After that car stop, police recovered a significant amount of drugs. And during the car stop, the suspect claimed that one of the items found in his vehicle belonged to Hanley Ramirez and then FaceTimed him.
Earlier today, there were some reports about Hanley Ramirez being involved in some potential investigation on the federal level. What was your reaction to that, if you'd heard of it?
Surprise, you know, like, but, you know, I heard it, I read it, and, you know, I guess people are going to ask me about it, you know, and, you know, the only thing that, the organization didn't know about this, and, you know, I didn't know about this, you know, our decision was made basically on baseball, you know, baseball related, and, you know, I hope it's not true.
All right, the Hanley story from the weekend. It's where we let off today. We got a lot to get to on the Red Sox in general. But if he, you know, according to the Globe, did nothing wrong. Nothing wrong. Zero. And according to his agent, did nothing wrong. Zero. He's been unfairly smeared. Unfairly, you know, raked through the coals here. The Red Sox need a right-handed bat off the bench to hit lefties. He's sitting there for free. You're already paying him. Why don't you just bring him back then?
Right. What's the problem if he's so clean?
I mean, if he's so clean, yeah. I mean, it's just like, so, I mean, what's the, and if he, I mean, I don't know, why is he in the Dominican Republic?
You got me, I don't know, I don't get it. The whole thing feels, you know, and he had a tweet out, too, saying that his absence it was his choice to not play and chill out right now, which is,
I'll get it for you, I got it. Hanley tweet, I've been home enjoying my family, not being on a team has been my choice. Grateful to those of you who resisted spreading the reckless, misleading reports. So you're welcome, Hanley. Felger Maz could have done this weeks ago. We didn't really do it because we were being deferential to you. I just didn't want to get in trouble. So we didn't say anything. But grateful to those of you who resisted spreading the reckless, misleading reports. Hashtag I see you. Hashtag loyal. Hashtag only love here. And then hashtag El Trece 13. So that was his tweet. Overnight. It's the first we heard of him.
Yes, I don't buy it. I mean, I think that this is out there. There was a buzz going around and teams wouldn't touch him. And so, you know, my guess is that Hanley still wants to play and he's waiting for someone to step up. And until this thing goes away, he knows he's got no shot. So he was hoping that it didn't come out at all. And it did. Of course it did. It's only a matter of time before it came out.
Okay. 617-779-0985. Matt and Natick, lead us off. Go ahead.
What are you guys saying now that you couldn't have said a week ago? You guys are full of baloney. You haven't said anything that you didn't know last week.
Huh?
And this baloney about hiding behind some, you're supposed to be not only a talk show, you're supposed to be a news source.
No.
And Maz does a show at 6 o'clock about baseball specifically. There were calls on there that tried to talk about this and they weren't allowed. They were cut off.
I'm no longer a news source.
What are you doing now that you couldn't have done last week?
Oh, I wanted someone else to report it first.
Why?
Because I don't want to get in trouble.
Are you afraid of it?
Yes, definitely.
Why? Yeah.
Because he was reportedly eyed in connection with a federal drug investigation.
Right, exactly. And you could have reported that.
No, I couldn't have.
Just you could, too.
I could have. I didn't want to.
You're full of baloney. You could have reported it, and you could have associated with other sources.
Yeah, not really.
What are you afraid of?
You're right, I could have. I was afraid. No question about it. Absolutely. I don't need that mess.
So here's what I would tell you, that some of what we were hearing was...
Oh, and by the way, there's more with Hanley. There's a few other good details I'm waiting to come out, and I'll tell you that I knew those, too. There's a few other ones. Someone, Michelle, get on this. What happened the night he was released? So I'd like to hear some reporting on that. And then I'll claim that I knew it weeks ago.
Is that the blowing up the stadium? Carrabas debunked that.
Oh!
Yeah.
Oh, so that is out.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, he did. He debunked it.
Yeah, Carrabas debunked that.
Oh, right. Yeah. So we had heard that he lost his mind in the bomb squad.
Threatened to blow up the stadium.
Yeah, there's some sort of hot mess the night they released him. And they told him at 3:45 in the morning. I mean, the whole manner of the release was unusual. And I credit the Globe. They pointed out some of these details over the weekend. You know, he'd been playing every day.
Yep.
Hitting in the two-hole every night.
No, he hit in the top part of the order, in the middle of the order, pretty much the whole year.
So it's not like, you know, the normal progression is slump, have a seat, slump, drop you in the order, rehab stint, DL stint, you know, this works out over days, weeks, months. Okay, a month and a half later, he's still not getting it right, DFA. This was flight home from Tampa, 3:45, bye-bye. that is not the normal course of the way that goes.
No, which is why, again...
And we had heard that he reacted exceptionally poorly to it.
And in terms of what I heard, I had asked, like, can you give me anything further? Can I get an arrest report? Anything like that? And I was told no, because the guy didn't want to jeopardize his job. Rightfully so. So,
and,
you know.
So, no, I'm not reporting that story out. I'm a hot take artist now, okay? This is what I do. I'm not going to report out those details.
Well, look, like Murray said, the other thing is, you know, if you're going to go with something like that, just my two cents, I'm not a police reporter. I never was. I covered baseball teams, for Christ's sake. What do you want me to tell you? And so unless I get proof of it, I'm going to be careful. I'm not going to get my ass chewed on that one.
So he did not threaten to blow up the building? Huh.
Yeah, that's unfortunately.
Stupid. All right, okay, Jim in Warwick. Go ahead, Jim.
How you doing, guys? Listen. You know, I was wondering if Murray knew about this investigation a few weeks ago, and so it's obviously an investigation. Why is he allowed to leave the country?
So, to be fair, Jim, I don't want to speak for you. You didn't hear there was an investigation. You just heard someone was pulled over with fentanyl, and Hanley was
somehow
named in the stop. Yes.
That was it. It was very vague in terms of what his involvement was. But
which is another reason we didn't sort of, like, you know, go gangbusters with it. No one knew exactly what it was. So, like, you know, hell, Tom Brady's name was on Greg Anderson's phone. Are we going to start flapping our gums on that one?
Well, we have.
Well, I know. I mean, it's a bad...
No, but that was reported somewhere else.
Right.
That was reported somewhere else first. I totally admit. I'm not going anywhere near that one until someone else does it first. Jeff in Nashua. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, guys. Just a quick question and a comment for Maz. Is this kind of how it works? You know, do you think other teams were as blown away as, you know, a lot of people in this area of the country when Hanley got released because of how he was playing? You know, I know he had a bad stretch, but do other GMs call Dombrowski and say, would you release this guy for, and then, you know, he may tell them a little bit about it, and that's why he still is not playing for another team?
So I don't think it's as deliberate as you painted it out to be, Jeff. My guess is that very rarely you'd see it happen, you know, GM to GM, president of baseball operations to president of baseball operations. Once the news comes out, you know, a couple of scouts are sitting together at a game and so, and yep, I heard this, yep, I heard that. And then, oh, yep, is that true? Yeah, I was talking to him the other day. Okay, and now all of a sudden everything filters. There you go. He said, she said, you told two friends, I told two friends, and all of a sudden everybody in the game knows. But, like, you know, is Brian Cashman picking up the phone, calling Dave Dombrowski and saying, hey, what happened with Hanley? I mean,
he doesn't need to.
Right. He doesn't need to. And if he does, Dombrowski says, Brian, I can't talk about that.
But the word's on the street.
Yes. That's how stuff always gets out.
But now Hanley doesn't want to play? Like, how does that? I thought.
That's a crock.
I don't buy it.
I thought one of the whole reasons they had to let him go is because they were going to curtail his playing time, and they thought he would react poorly to that because he was so keen on playing every day. And his contract option picking up was a big part of that. But if he's so keen on playing that he was going to cause trouble, now he won't even pick up the phone from teams and he's sort of bugged out to the DR? Huh?
Yeah.
What?
I don't buy it. I don't buy any of it.
So this goes back to, like, how innocent is Hanley in all of this? And I still don't know. But I'm still not willing to say, well, he's not responsible for his stupid friends. What, his involvement here in this whole thing goes a little bit beyond that.
I mean, think of it this simply. Let's say he worked for you. How would you feel right now?
Ugh.
Scared.
See you later, Hanley.
Yeah. Like, what? You know, now again, the legalities of it, like if a guy works for you and something like this pops up and he's not actually guilty of any, can you do anything to him? I don't know. I doubt it.
Well, Jimmy and Attleboro, you want to weigh in on that part of it. How far can you go with someone just based on their associates? Go ahead.
Exactly. Like, I feel like they made a huge mistake getting rid of him. If he's truly innocent and... You know, it's not fair. So Murray's driving, he gets pulled over, he gives you a call on FaceTime and you answer. Now, does he lose his job? And then you guys are searching for someone who does a perfect price impression. Like, it just doesn't make sense.
So, I mean, you're right. Like, how far do you go with that? But I think the Red Sox are within their right, or should be. I don't know. I don't know the exact law. But shouldn't they be within their right to say, we're a public entity and our image is important to our business, and the way he was carrying himself scared us and potentially could hurt our business. So we have the right to...
See, I just think they open themselves up to litigation if they do that.
No, if they admit it, for sure. So this is why it has to be all baseball. Like, I get it.
See, because I think the one thing that's airtight.
But legally, should they have the right to do it? I mean, I don't know.
I don't think you do.
So wait a minute.
Unless there's like, you know.
Hold on, but Hanley was, those were known drug dealers, convicted drug dealers in his circle. To the point where he's FaceTiming these guys. And again, I think we all sort of agree, you're FaceTiming someone, that really represents a level of intimacy. So these guys are in his inner circle. So the teams, if players on a team are dealing and hanging out and associated with known criminals and felons and drug dealers, the team is powerless to do anything about that?
I think they can tell the player to, you know, don't hang out with these people, but I don't think they can discipline them. For what? But for having bad friends?
Okay, but not discipline them, but remove them from your team? I mean, they're still paying them.
Okay, but again, so the Hanley thing gets complicated, I think, because of that vesting option. Like, in other words, you're not just taking away. You're paying him this year, so fine, release him. No problem. You know, it's a one-year deal, right? But the $22 million next year?
I'm just saying.
Now you're depriving him of future earnings.
At what point are you responsible for your associates to your employer? If you're hanging out with known drug dealers, but you're not, you're totally innocent. You're not doing anything criminal. But you choose to hang out with known felons.
What if you do nothing wrong?
The team, right. Okay, you're doing nothing wrong, but your circle, the people you hang with, are known felons. The team is powerless to do anything about that.
I mean, I think that's right. What can you do? I think this is what I'm saying. I think you can say, like, what are you going to do? Release him because you got bad friends? We're releasing you. You have bad friends. You're out. I don't think you can do a thing.
Dangerous friends, criminal friends. You know, it's bad. It's
I think you can trade them.
Bad friends. I mean, there's levels there, right?
I see. So I think that what they can do without any scrutiny ever, we don't think you're good anymore. You can't play for us. Bye. And I think that that's why they have just stuck to that. That's it. They even had the manager saying it, for crying out. And when I say that it was the manager's decision.
When the president came out to explain it, he said, "Well, the manager told us."
Exactly. Like, it wasn't even the front office. No. None of us had anything to do with it. This was the skipper. Right? Like, I think they went that far. It's almost like they're saying, we're getting rid of this guy. And not only are we going to get rid of him, we're getting rid of him forever. We are not going to let this thing come back and bite us in the ass in any capacity. And what I would say is, if, you know, given all the stuff around him now, I think it's smart. I think it's the right thing to do. Stay away.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Ground ball, that may do it. Bogarts up and over, and the Red Sox take the series and the season series from the Mariners, and they do it today with a combined shutout. Chris Sale deserving the lion's share of this one. He was brilliant.
All right, Maz, give me some Red Sox thoughts, as in baseball.
Okay, so look, they take 2 out of 3 from the Mariners. They're effectively in a tie with the Yankees atop the division. New York is percentage points ahead, but again, that comes back to the fewer games. The thing that struck me, fewer games that they've played relative to the Red Sox. The thing that struck me about yesterday, you know, a week ago I said here, Chris Sale's got a 1-0 lead, comes out and gives up 2 runs, and I'm the a-hole. Right, I'm the a-hole. Like, your ace has a 1-0 lead and loses 2-1, and I'm a bad person for saying that he should be able to make those leads stand up. That's why you pay him the big dough. Don't give the lead back. Then yesterday he goes out, and for the first, 4 or 5 innings, it was a 0-0 game, into the middle innings, and he's blowing people away, and the other guy blinks first. And we all celebrate Sale for this great game he pitched. Wasn't this exactly what I was saying? Like, yesterday to me, that's why you pay the guy the big dough. And again, I take that back, because he's not making big dough. But that's why the guy is the ace of your staff. Okay, that's why he is your number one starter. That's why he gets the ball in game one. Because you expect him to win the low-scoring, tight game, and that the other guy will blink first. That's the whole point. Like, I look at it and say, so I get it. So when they don't score for him and he loses, it's not his fault. But if they don't score a ton for him and he wins, he gets praised for it. So I just think this is the burden of being a number one starter in Major League Baseball. You live with both. You lose 3-2 and you have a 2-1 lead, it's on you. you win 3-2 and, you know, you never give up the lead, you get credit for it. That's how I look at it. So look, again, do I think this team is perfect? No. And I almost lost my mind when Bogaerts jammed a finger sliding head first over the weekend too. And, you know, so that one drove me a little bananas. And all these little things can add up. But they're overall a good weekend against the Mariners. They bounced back after the game on Saturday night. Sale picked them up. And so I get you're never going to hear me bitch when they win a series in the big picture.
What's this trade rumor they were discussing in the midday?
Mark Kania from the A's is a guy that they are targeting. And I think there's an interesting angle here, too, for this reason. This guy this year is killing left-handed pitching. They're looking for a right-handed hitting outfielder. He plays all three outfield positions. He plays some first base, I think, too. Up until this year in his career, he's never hit, period, against left-handed or right-handed pitching. Last year, I think he hit 200 against left-handers. Now, all of a sudden, the number's 308, and he has an OPS over 1,000, so the Red Sox are interested in him. But I also think it tells you the caliber of player that they are sort of going to have to go after. There are going to be better guys available who are bigger names with better track records than this guy. All of a sudden, this guy has 2.5 good months, three good months against left-handed pitching, and now he's a trade target. You know why he's a trade target? Because he's going to be cheap. Because they don't have a lot to trade.
Well, define cheap.
Low-level prospect.
That's it.
Yeah. I mean, this guy's a, what's his career average? 230 or something like this? This guy's never hit. All of a sudden, he's having one good, you know, half season, not even. And the A's will probably move him because they can get something little for him. And they recognize he doesn't have a lot of value. So if the Red Sox give him something half decent, they'll do it. And I just think that this, to me, illustrates what type of thing they're up against at the trade deadline. If that's the best they can do, is that going to open anybody's eyes?
I doubt it.
So look, now, if you told me Jed Lowry, I'd be a little bit more impressed. Lowry to me is a guy who was historically, his whole career, has killed left-handed pitching. He can play a couple of spots in the infield. You play him at second base. It guards you against Pedroia. If Devers goes south, maybe you can play him a little bit at third. Like, I'm no Jed Lowry fan. But, you know, he's a half-decent big league player. He's better than Mark Kania, however you pronounce his stupid name. Like,
it's not a stupid name. It's just a name you can't pronounce.
So I look at it and I say, that's the kind of guy they're targeting now?
Well, they have nothing to give up and they can't go over the tax. So, what are you going to do there?
I mean, this guy's a 30-year-old, you know, not even platoon player. Like, he's not even that. Like, so again, look, I'll take anything I can get. Don't get me wrong, because my expectations for them are not very high because I just don't think they have a lot to trade.
Okay, long commercial-free segment is next. We'll continue with your Red Sox thoughts at 617-779-0985 and get to the Bruins, who are not looking at a piddling small fish like this fella out in Oakland. They're looking at a big, big fish, and they could be in on this player.
No. They want the big one.
This could be a whale, and it's a big story that's developing here for the Bruins. We'll get to that right after these words.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Janta.
Magenta?
Janta.
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 Sometimes you have to wonder if there's a gas leak in the building.
Woohoo! Whoop-de-doo!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It was very clear the Bruins had interest and were certainly going to push for a meeting and wanted to potentially sign him. And it's real interesting. You know, obviously he's a franchise-type player. He's a difference maker. He's going to come in and be your 1-1A center. But, you know, they're going to have to make some moves and clear some space. They do have $12 million in cap space, but they've got other moves they have to make. So I think if you do somehow sign a John Tavares, you're going to have to trade David Krejci potentially, or maybe David Backes. You're going to have to make some moves with your NHL roster now to clear space in order to bring him in. But I think there's no question the Bruins are very interested and they want to talk to Tavares. And it's a credit to the Bruins that they're going to get a seat at the table if they do.
The aforementioned whale, John Tavares. This is not a small name. This is a big fish. And the Bruins are going to get a seat at the table with John Tavares, who's going to interview with, it sounds like, at least five teams out at his agent's office in Los Angeles. And again, this is going to Pierre LeBrun of The Athletic. on TSN. He says the John Tavares sweepstakes are officially underway, with his camp, led by agent Pat Brisson, finalizing a list of teams a sought-after player will meet with. Dallas, San Jose, Toronto, Tampa, and Boston will get to present to Tavares and team in person at the CAA offices in Los Angeles between Monday and Wednesday. Plus, of course, the Islanders remain in the mix and will get to present as well. John Tavares is one of the best players in hockey. I don't know if you want to say, is he a top 10 player? Murray, can I ask you a favor?
Certainly, what's up?
And I'm not just going to bark the order at you. Just Google best players in the NHL.
Sure.
And I bet you some slideshow, you know, list will show up on something. And I just want to know where Tavares, just generically, you know.
Gotcha.
And if you can pick like a Canadian website, because they know what they're talking about. I'm just curious, like, if you just generically say, where is Tavares?
How about NHL Network?
Okay, NHL Network, top players in the game. I'm going to say he's a top 10 player. He's finished third in the Hart Trophy twice. That's the MVP. So he's twice been third in league MVP voting. The last was 2 years ago. In 2016-17, he finished third in... I'm sorry, it was 2015-16. He finished third in the Hart Trophy voting. He's a five-time All-Star, okay? He's a four-time Hart candidate where he's gotten votes for the Hart, you know? So he's that kind of guy. Centerman, I believe he's 27. He'll be 28 when next year starts.
I think that's right, yep.
You're talking at... talking about a contract that will make him what I assume would be the second highest paid player in the game. Connor McDavid right now in Edmonton is the highest paid player at 12.5, and then there's a gap. You know, leave it to Peter Chiarelli to not just set the market, but blow the market out of the water. Previously, Pat Kane and Jonathan Toews had each made $10.5 million a year. Then Carey Price equaled them at $10.5 million. Chiarelli then, of course, gives Connor McDavid $12.5 million because he just can't, you know, why just go to $11 million? When you can go to 12.5 and completely blow up your salary structure. But so Connor McDavid at 12.5. Tavares, I think, will be the second highest paid player in the game. If he goes for every last time, he's going to be at 11. So you're talking about the second highest paid player in the game. You're talking at the contract will probably be 7 years, 77, 70, 7 years, 82 million, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because the most anyone can give him is 7 years, right?
The most anyone...
Other than the Islanders. Sorry.
As you said, go ahead.
No, that's it. Seven years, other than the Islanders, you can give him eight.
The Islanders can give him eight, you can give him seven, everyone else can give him seven. So he's going to be somewhere in there. Your thoughts?
I'm in. I mean, I love the fact that the Bruins are going after this kind of player. They should. They could use another, like, legit... big time center, because that's what Krejci was supposed to be. He's not anymore. And so if they have to clear the money, I'm in. I'm a hell of a lot more interested in this than, what's his name?
Kovalchuk?
Yeah,
Ilya Kovalchuk. Any of these guys.
Yes, absolutely. Some washed up has-been that they have to give, you know, I say has-been. 3 years and 6.5 per for Kovalchuk? No way. Not in a million years. I wouldn't give him the 6.5 a year, let alone the 3 years. I thought that number was ridiculous when I saw that deal. So I was just looking up Tavares as you were talking about him. In the last 4 years, there are 10 players in the league that have 300 points. Okay? He's number six. So, you know, if you're talking about standout offensive producers, he's one of them. And the list is just quickly Crosby, Kane, Jamie Benn, Kucherov, Ovechkin, Tavares, Backstrom, Blake Wheeler, Sagan, Giroux. So once you get to even to eight, it starts to taper off there a little bit. He's in that group.
NHL.com's top 50 players had him ranked 19th last year, but this helps fit your argument. How about Vice Sports, who has a good synopsis on him that says he's having a tremendous walk-year season, has always been a top 10 player, and at times a top 5 player. He's a poor man's Sidney Crosby, which is still a very rich thing to be. He's not fast, doesn't have a big shot, but he does everything incredibly well, but gets lost in the shadow of New York sports, and also the Islanders have been awful for much of his time there.
19 feels low, but let's just say that. Top 20 player.
Good enough.
Top 20 player, and he's an offensive player. He's an offensive player, and what I like about him is he's a goal-scoring center. He scores goals. And again, these are not, you know, remember the era we're talking about. This is the dead ball era in the NHL, if you will. But here are his goal totals per season. 24, 29, 31, 28 in the 48-game season. Okay, so that's a huge number, that 28. But 24, 29, 31, 28 in half a season. 24, 38, 33, 28, 37 last year. Those are good goal totals. So he's not one of those centers that you have to put like a goal-scoring wing next to. He'll get some of the goal production for you from the center position, which is what I like. The guy's a flat-out stud. And to me, you heard Joe Haggerty talking about all the hoops they have to go to salary-wise to get him. I don't think they need to do that much. If you clear Krejci, that's pretty much it. If you can trade Krejci, they're 12 under as it stands right now. So you could sign Tavares right now and not have to make a move off your roster. Now, there's other, you know, they've got to fill out the bottom of the roster, so something does have to give there. But if you traded David Krejci, just David Krejci, $7.2 million, and got out from under that, you could sign Tavares. And I think you'd have enough room to sign all these other, you know, lower considerations that you would need. Your backup goalie, this and that, maybe a little tinkering here and there, but that's pretty much it. You don't have to gut half your roster.
Well, it's the potential move to get McAvoy on a new contract going forward for next year. That would be the issue.
So that's so fine. If you're talking about future years, yes. You know, you got to manage that. For this particular season, they wouldn't have to do much. Future years, yes. They have a lot to account for. But this year, I mean, just Krejci would do it. Just Torrey Krug might do it. So you talk about the money you'd move off the team. Backus is a natural. We'd all do it yesterday. I don't think there's any takers there. I think you're stuck with that money. I think you can trade David Krejci. There'll be one taker out there for him.
I think St. Louis would like David Backus back.
Oh my gosh, I love this idea.
St. Louis would take him back?
Yeah, and I think Minnesota would be interested in David Backus as well.
Yeah, hometown boy.
That's the other thing I keep hearing, send him to Minnesota.
Oh, heartbeat, whatever
you
want.
You can get your left shot defenseman from the Minnesota team.
So honestly, to me, Krejci and Backus are to the point where I would just dump them. I wouldn't even really care about the return. What I would want is the least amount of money coming back. So draft picks, no problem. You know, I would just worry in the case of those two players about clearing the room. Now, Krejci actually might bring you back something because he might still have value. Maybe a cup team looks at his playoff numbers and, you know, how he performed the 2 years you went to the cup and say, you know, if we get him in the playoffs, this guy can do something for us, so we'll actually give something up, which would be a bonus. But I just want to clear that money. Oh, I think it would be tremendous.
What do you think his AAV would be?
I just would be saying
11-ish.
Yeah. 11 plus.
It has to be because of Kovalchuk at what? 6.5 for 3? Which is ridiculous.
I mean, that deal blew me away. Right. I saw that.
3 years, 6.5 each.
I was thinking 1 year, 3.5.
Oh, my God.
Like, what? 3 years, six. I saw that and I said, thank God the Bruins didn't sign him.
They would have given him 2 at 6.
I know, I saw that.
They weren't scared by the 6. They were scared by the 3 years. Like, talk about, what are you doing?
Oh, that scared the crap out of me.
David, you know, you're worried again to Jimmy's point. You signed McAvoy down the line. You got all these good young players who all come up in the first couple of years, the way that the league works. You got to pay them early now. And you're going to have someone on the book. You have a 35, 36-year-old Russian player on your books for $6 million? What were they thinking? I still don't get it.
Scary. I saw the number. It scared the crap out of me. 1 year at 6.5, I thought would have been stupid.
Brutal.
Let alone 3. And look, you know Tavares better than I do. I was watching some video and highlights and stuff like that. But he's good sized, right? He's 6'1", 210. And he looks to me like he battles. He's tough. You know, to me, it solves so many needs for them. Like, it gives him a little size, some grit, a good player in the middle. Like, if he ends up anywhere other than the Islanders, whom he already plays for, obviously, the Bruins or Toronto, it will change my opinion of the player. If he goes to Dallas, San Jose...
I was just going to say...
Like, those crap places, that guy should be in Toronto, Boston, or New York. That's it.
I agree with you totally. When I saw Dallas on that list, I'm like, Dallas, dude? What, are you just worried about the income tax? Is that why? Because they have Texas has no state income tax, right?
Right.
So is that what it is? So is this really just a last dime on the last crumb on the table kind of thing? If it's the last crumb on the table, then he goes to Toronto, but then because they have the most money. But then again, the tax implications up there or the exchange rate, like, does that factor in? If it's the last crumb on the table kind of deal, then I don't know. Then it would be Dallas. Tampa surprises me too. Talk about having to go through hoops cap wise. Like, they've got an expensive, veteran, talent laden roster. They don't need that. They got just about as much talent in the league without the guy. If Tampa wants to do that, they got to start. Then they would have to start dealing from their blue line, which I think would be stupid.
And he's from Ontario, right? So like, there's another Toronto element there.
So Toronto, like, okay, you go to a place that matters, a team that's on the come, it's contending. They'll pay through the nose for you. You'll be a national hero. Like, if you lose out to Toronto, if the Bruins lose out to Toronto, I got it. Dallas or San Jose? San Jose?
Oh my God! I'd lose respect for the player. I see that and say, "What do you want to go play there for?" Like, you're a Canadian. You're from Ontario. You're in New York. Boston, I get. Like, there's a, you know, Original Six. Like, that's a legit hockey place. And Toronto, I get. New York, I get. Dallas? What, so you can play with Sagan? You're going to play with him?
And I'll tell you, the money shouldn't be a problem. Let's pick this up on the other side. I'm surprised people treat like the money like a problem. I could save a lot of money on this team really easily. And we'll give you an example right after Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.